y'all. Would you like to win something? My name is Adria Wilkins, and I wrote a book called The Joy Box Journal. It has 40 devotions with a box and notepads to journal joy moments in your life. I want to give you a chance to win an autographed copy. Go to OPS Podcast Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter every day in August at 10 a.m. Pacific for a chance to enter and win. When you see the picture of my book, all you need to do is like and post a comment with the hashtag #LookOutForJoy. If you'd like an extra entry, go to my Facebook page, Adria Wilkins. There will be a post pinned at the top of the month of August, and it will be labeled Chance to Win. All you need to do is like the post and comment. We will do a drawing live at the end of August. Good luck, and y'all be on the lookout for joy.
I don't know about you, when I'm looking for a plumber, I like to read my reviews. HomeAdvisor.com gave me some reviews on our sponsor, Art of Plumbing. Called them. They arrived on time. Immediately found the plumbing issue and fixed it right the first time. I called them last year and it was great. I called them again this year because I had a problem again. They came out, they fixed the problem. They even gave me solutions to help stop the problem in the future at 541-9405.
Come take a walk with me, not like you used to do. Do something different and put yourself in other people's shoes. Open up your mind and open up your eyes and change your direction, change your perspective.
Welcome into Other People's Shoes. As you know, I am your host, Neil Matthews. It has happened. After 84-ish episodes later, if my math is right, we finally get to go out to North Carolina. I'm so excited. We finally get to go to the Tar Heel State. And so when we do, and you got to go there in your imagination, again, we're taking that flight. By the way, we did go first class. So just remember that. You got a blanket. It was a good movie. But now we've landed. And when we land, you guys, you got to get ready for this because this, to me, is an organization we all need to get behind. So help me welcome in our guest today. She is the co-founder. She's also the executive vice president of Samaritan's Feet International. Now, you might be asking yourself, what is Samaritan's Feet International? Why should I care? Here's why you should care. Because back in 2013, Samaritan's Feet and their partners delivered over, are you ready for this? A staggering 7.5 million pairs of shoes to 108 countries around the world, and that's 420 U.S. cities. They firmly believe this, that if you don't get shoes on kids' feet and socks, it is the top five item that you need to be successful in this life. Think about if you didn't have shoes for a minute. I know, you know, you guys know if you've listened long enough, I have a shoe obsession. But this is fascinating to me. They've served in over 108 countries, 43 states in the United States, maybe 44, come Oregon, because we might be talking about that down the way. They've served people worldwide, 7,511. I mean, it's just staggering numbers, guys. 420 U.S. cities they've served in. This is the best part that I really kind of wept over. They've had 97,440 volunteers over the last 8 years. It is without a doubt an organization we need to get behind. Help me welcome in my guest, Tracy Oman. I hope I got the last name right. Tracy, how are you?
I am great. Thank you, Neil. And thank you so much for finding us on the World Wide Web and letting us be a part of such an awesome podcast. I was looking at some of your episodes pre-interview, and it was, yeah, it's very inspiring and super cool for your team. So kudos to you guys as well and all that you're doing to bring awareness as well as opportunity for people to learn about awesome organizations all around our globe.
Yeah, like I said, when I found you guys, I thought, man, this is something I need to get behind. And so we talked pre-show. Guys, mark your calendar now. We're not sure when it's going to happen, but we're going to make this happen. We're going to have an event where we give shoes away too. So little maybe forethought planning on our part, but we're going to make this happen. I'm going to trust in somebody higher than me is going to make this happen and make it a reality. So Tracy, before we get down too far down a road, we got to of course ask this most important question. I've been interviewed by all kinds of amazing journalists and great people, I'm imagining, right?
Well, you know, none as great as you right now, Neil. So we got to live in the moment, right? We gotta go with the now.
That's true. All right. Fair enough. But I'm just saying.
We'll leave it at that.
Okay. But so, yeah. So I am just saying you have been interviewed by a number of places, but nobody's probably ever asked you this question. What style of shoe do you love to wear?
Oh, my gosh. Well, see, here's where we have a common thread of friendship already, right? So it's very comical that we are a shoe ministry. And obviously we're more than just a shoe, but I have a huge love for shoes. So depends on the day. But I have to go with the really good wedge, but I'm also a big Tenny fan as well. So, you know, it
okay.
kind of has to flow in between that.
So it's going to be really hard to get in wedges for me, you know, with my size 10 and a half, 11 shoe. So
yes,
tennis shoes I can get behind. If there's a tennis shoe, cause I'm guessing you stay pretty active, right? I mean, you just have to with your lifestyle, you got to stay in shape, stay going.
Definitely.
Cause you're running a million miles a minute, I'm sure. But what kind of tennis shoe can we wear? Can we get into a tennis shoe easier than a wedge, perhaps?
Oh, definitely. We can definitely get into a tennis shoe better than a wedge. And you know what? Oh, gosh. If you ask me brand, I don't.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you next, because you don't want to offend a brand that might donate later, right?
Yeah. Thank you, Neil. Thank you for saying that, because I have to say Switzerland. But let's just say if the shoe's the right color and fit and looks good, I'm gonna love you no matter what your brand.
Okay. So is there a certain style or color then? We'll go with that. Cause I do want to stay away from the brand, cause we want to stay Switzerland. We want to be nice.
I am more of a neutral gal. So I would do a cream, a gray, a navy. Yeah. I'm more that.
Okay. You're not wild and wacky. Cause you know, I'm like, you know, bright yellow, bright blues. I'm kind of that guy, you know.
No.
It could be the personality perhaps.
That would be my 19-year-old, almost 19-year-old son that would be right there with you. But, you know, when you got to make it work with a lot of outfit choices, you got to stay neutral. I mean, oh, it can be boring.
I love it. I love that you're being neutral. I love this. This is fun. So so your husband is phenomenal. I watched a lot of your guys' YouTube stuff. I went and checked that out. His energy, by the way, I think is out of this world. It's going to reach Pluto. I know that's probably not a planet anymore, but it's going to get out there soon enough. His energy level, I just feel like he's just so charismatic. How on earth do you even like comprehend what is happening in your ministry and what's going on?
Well, that's a really good question. And I'm sure you find yourself a lot of times, as all of us do, pinching ourselves with the opportunities that just happen and the connect points that happen in our life and really help us to realize that the universe and the globe is a whole lot smaller than we think. And there really is true that a lot of times it's that 1 degree separation between us and somebody else, right? So starting from our garage 17 years ago with you know, four little children and peoples that we have a responsibility for, and seeing where we're at today, and some of the statistics that you mentioned, where we've been able to reach, not just that, but the places that we have international offices in, and just the breadth that we've been allowed to do in this very short period of time. Yeah, there's a lot of pinch me moments. And honestly, a lot of moments where you just have to look at, how did this happen? And how did this connect? And oh my gosh, how did we get here? So yeah, it's not without a lot of hard work, as we all know, and sweat and tears. But it's an awesome team behind us. And it's also the opportunity to just know when the doors open and walk through it.
Tracy, I love that. I love that a lot, especially, you know, sometimes the door's locked, right? And we got to kind of jiggle the handle maybe, and we got to kind of knock on that door perhaps. I mean, I've been there a time or two myself. And I, again, I'm just blown away by the impact that you guys have made. It's just staggering. Like, I'm not a math guy. Like, those who know me, they know I hate numbers. I love people. I don't love numbers. But those numbers were just staggering to me. And to think about the fact that you guys estimate, and I think this is great data, because it's not from you. It's World Health Organization that estimates that over 1.5 million people are affected by diseases that are transferred.
Yeah.
Through where they're walking, through the soil that they're walking in, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so if you think about it in that context, it's it's think about what the world's economy looks like. And right now we're experiencing some of that with COVID, right? We're all feeling that pain, and businesses and nonprofits and churches alike. But think about that always being something that always has to be in your mind. Think about the people that are living on less than a dollar a day or $2.50. And then think about the fact that not just in other parts of the world, but in the US, where it's 1 in 5 needs for kids going back to school is a pair of shoes. And so you look at the drastic difference between living on $2.50 a day, where we can't even get a meal for that if we're going out somewhere. And then you're having to provide all of the basic necessities for your children. And you are walking through areas where it's soil transmitted diseases, whether that be fleas and ticks or jiggers and protoconiasis or elephantitis. These are things that get through their feet that lead to sometimes amputation, sometimes death, other health things. And it's preventable with the simple gift of a pair of shoes. And so bring that forward to the U.S., where a pair of shoes is, they might not be walking to school without shoes in Detroit, Michigan in the wintertime, but they may be walking to school in Detroit, Michigan with shoes that they borrowed from a friend, that they've got hand-me-down from another sibling perhaps, and they may be way too big or way 3 or 4 sizes too small. So we might not have shoelessness in the U.S., but we have need for shoes in the U.S. just as much as we do across the world. And so it's given us an opportunity during this pandemic, as well as life in general, to look at what are our basic necessities and needs. And I think everybody in the world just wants to be on that playing field where your necessities, your shelter, clothing, food are taken care of so that we have what we need for our families. And at the end of the day, that's what any mom or dad wants for a kid going back to school. And that's what anybody wants for their child that is going through illness because they don't have proper footwear.
Yeah. I couldn't have said it better myself. And to me, if I'm going to truly confess to you, and I know you're not my pastor or my, you know, faith guru or faith, whatever you want to put in that category, right? We don't know each other. We just met, you know, moments ago. But when I heard somebody, and it might've been your husband, he said in one of his talks, think about how many shoes you own. And I was embarrassed, and I'm still embarrassed, and it is almost bringing me to a little bit of an emotional moment right now, that I have this massive shoe collection, and to think that there are so many kids out there that don't have a pair of shoes. It really, honest to God, got to me to the point of saying, how can I get involved? Because I know when I get a new pair of shoes, you know, whether they be, you know, the brand doesn't matter. I get a little sense of pride. I get a little sense of excitement. I get a little new pair. I get, you know, I get excited, and I can only, I didn't expect to go this way. I can only imagine what it feels like for a 5-year-old little kid who has never had a pair of shoes that maybe light up, and it doesn't even matter if they light up, but you know, the first time they get to put on these brand new pairs of shoes. And to me, I just had to figure out how I could get involved. And that's why we talked pre-show that I was so excited. One, that you're from in the Carolina area, which of course is just where I love and my second home. I wish it could be. But I was really, again, excited to hear about what you guys have done. Is there a story that really stands out to you, that really has impacted you? I'm sure there's probably millions, if not thousands, right? Or, you know, I said that backwards, but you know what I meant. But is there a moment that really you stop and go, man, that really rocked me in an amazing way?
You know, and you're right, there's so many moments, and it's sad to say, just like you have, and you shouldn't feel embarrassed, but I think that just is an empowerment and a reminder, right, that, gosh, I am so blessed, and with that blessing of these shoes, I can also bless others. So, yeah, we live in a country where we have so much, and we have so much opportunity as well. So I think that same token, there's so many great stories, Neil, that, gosh, you know, from our first trip to South Africa when we started, and a little girl asking me to adopt her and take her home, and your heart crushes to, you know, we just had a recent young lady by the name of JoJo out of Denver, Colorado, and this was last year. She wanted to, one of the cool things that we do to, for some people to get involved, especially kids or people that really don't have a need for things for their birthday, going back to, we have so much, you know, and so how do I take that so much and pay it forward? And so this 9-year-old girl decided she was going to do a fundraiser, and she did a birthday fundraiser for us, as you see a lot of people do through different medias, via Facebook or what have you. And so she did a wonderful birthday party where no gifts, she wanted pairs of shoes. She collected those shoes. She sent those bright new beautiful tennis shoes to SF, to Samaritan's Feet here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Those shoes went through our warehouse. They were deboned, all the stuffings and things taken out of them, and getting them prepared for shipment. So this is, you know, over 9,000 journey story here, 9,000 mile journey story here of where JoJo, because she wanted to, and out of the obedience of what she had been given, and out of the kindness of her heart and her generous spirit, decided to do this birthday, this ninth grade or this 9-year-old birthday party. Shoes got to Charlotte. Shoes got ready to be prepared. We had a mission trip getting ready to go to Uganda. So that 9,000 mile mission trip all the way to Uganda, this sweet little girl in Uganda, I think her name was Sharika, receives these pairs of shoes for school. And the reality of that is this little girl might have been, and I don't remember all of Sharika's story, but this happens more often than not, where that might be the child that's only going to school in their family, that this family can only afford for one to go at the time. This might be an opportunity where she couldn't get into school because she didn't have shoes. And so that 9,000 mile journey from JoJo saying yes to doing something so small and simple, to the impact and the transformation that happened with Sharika on the other side of the world in Uganda. Those are the stories that I'm like, what the heck? Because you know what, Neil, at 9 years old, I was thinking like, can I get a new Barbie? And can I have a new something? And hey, it wasn't outward focused. I can guarantee you that. And so those are the stories that I'm like, God, that gives me such hope for our future generation of world changers. Because I was not thinking that at 9 years old.
I'm trying to hold back tears, by the way, on that. I just don't know what to say. I don't know what to say, because I think to myself, somebody trained her right.
Yes. You know,
somebody taught that young lady, that 9-year-old young lady, think other than yourself. Think more than yourself. Give back. And to me, kudos to the parents, kudos to those that are in her life that instilled that value in her. And I want to talk about that value. You know, your husband has a pretty fascinating story. You know, over 30 years ago, roughly, right? He's this Nigerian boy, and he gets his first pair of shoes at 9, ironically, right?
Yeah.
And it really changed his life for the better. Do you know that story pretty well? And do you mind if he shares that? Or you're the proxy in the sharing of that story?
Yeah. I do know that story very well. And if we have time at the end, I'll tell you a really cool full circle story about a kid in Burundi. That's another one that's very relevant and has transformed our life as well as his. He's now not a kid anymore. He's a young adult that just graduated from a university here in the US. But we met him in Burundi, and I'll share that with you guys in a little bit. But the story about my husband is a little bit similar to the story about John from Burundi that I'll share with you. My husband, Emmanuel, a lot of them call him Manny. I've always called him Emmanuel. At the age of 9, received his first pair of shoes, and the way that he received them was in a unique way. He is one of 8 in his household, never grew up with more than probably 15 or 20 people in his home. But there was a park, and it's Roe Park, that's just around the corner from his home in Nigeria on Herbert Macaulay Street. And the unique thing about this park is it's where all kids went to play sports, whether that be volleyball, basketball, soccer, football. And my husband had a responsibility at the age of 9. And again, did you have this responsibility other than maybe your chore of washing dishes? Of my husband's was a little bit different than putting the dishes away at night and his daily household chores. His was to go out and help sell water and soft drinks to the people that were at Rope Park, the athletes, the other kids. And so he was kind of looked at as, that's just another water boy over there selling spirits and minerals and beverages and et cetera. And so there was this missionary group that had come in to probably do a VBS like we all do sometimes, or go in and do different sports clinics with the children that were a part of this park. And again, my husband's off to the side with his basket of water. I'm sure we've all watched Discovery Channel, and his basket of water on his head and different, you know, sodas and whatnot. And he saw this missionary named Dave from Wisconsin, and I'm from the Midwest. So, you know, I feel like those good Midwestern, hearty, hearted, beautiful people that have such a heart to give back. My heart is proud when I hear people from the Midwest that are just doing awesome things. And so, you know, I have a little pride in that Midwestern root there. But Dave was there with another group of missionaries and was playing games. And my husband saw this orange ball. He hadn't seen it before. He's thinking, what the heck is this? They're not kicking it. It's round and orange. It's not a football or a soccer ball. What's going on here? But they were hitting it into a net and throwing it into a net. And he thought, well, this is cool. I'd love to be a part of this. And all of a sudden he heard Dave say, hey, does anybody want to play? And Emmanuel was raising his hand, and he's like, yes, I'd love to play. Could you pick me to play? Oh, I'd love to get in there. But, you know, of course, being the kid that's there selling water isn't always seen, isn't always looked at in the face. And so finally there was kids playing, and he didn't get picked right away. And the ball rolled around the side right past Emmanuel, and he picked it up. And he's like, I want to play. Can I play? And so Dave from Wisconsin let him in and come and play. And he said, hey, we're having a shooting contest. And remember, my husband hadn't seen what this orange ball was before. And the price of this contest, if you can shoot it into that hoop over there, is a pair of shoes. A pair of shoes. Something so simple as a pair of shoes. But my husband's one of 8. 15 probably in his home, because his dad's dad died early and his dad was taking care of his siblings as well as having a new family. So there's 15 people in this 2-bedroom home, and I guarantee you shoes was not on my mother-in-law's first priority for her children. It was food. It was making sure everybody ate something that day. They used to have this prayer that they said 001. It's okay if I don't have breakfast. It's okay if I don't have lunch, but can I have supper or something so I can make it to the next day? And so Emmanuel was elated when Dave said he could play, and that the prize of this competition was going to be that new pair of shoes. So Emmanuel, you know, in all his retelling of the story, just feels like there was angels over him watching him shoot. I don't know if his memory's accurate. We are a little bit older now, but every time he shot the ball, it went in, nothing but net, and he won that day. And the prize was a pair of shoes. And so Dave went in the bag and picked out the shoes for Emmanuel. And Emmanuel put them on and took them off right away and put them around his neck. Like we have a lot of the kids do that we serve. Because you know what? Those shoes symbolize hope. They symbolize that you saw me. They symbolize you took the time to recognize and see my face and see my heart. And show compassion and love. And so, gosh, Emmanuel put them around his neck and he was getting ready to run out and run off the court. And Dave stopped him and he said, hey, don't go so fast. I want to tell you that the God of the universe that brought me here has not forgotten about you. And just because you're born into these circumstances and situations, that doesn't define who you are. God knows you and sees you. And so Emmanuel ran home to his mom and forgot his basket of water. So his mom sent him back to get the basket of water and minerals. And he got home and he said, look at my shoes, guys. Look at the shoes that I've got. It's something that it's like when your kid brings home the greatest gift or trophy. And you know, there's a lot of times in other parts of the world where we automatically go to, gosh, well, why didn't I get any? But his family was so excited for him because, you know what? One person in their household got a pair of shoes that day, in their community more than that. And he was so excited. He said, Mom, look at my shoes. And to him, in that moment, it was like having a Mercedes-Benz. And so things were a little bit difficult, as you can imagine, with having 15 or more people in your home. You have a dad that's father passed away early and is helping to raise his siblings and has 8 kids of their own. And so times weren't always great. Things were tough. And his dad, you know, for lack of a better reason, found comfort in alcohol. And a lot of times when things were tough and he took that out, Emmanuel's the firstborn in Africa, and that's another story for another time, but the firstborn male in Africa carries a lot of weight and responsibility. And so his escape was going out to that row park, walking across basically their backyard into row park, where he still had to sell water and spirits and would shoot basketball. And he heard from somebody that, you know, if you eat a lot of beans, that helps you grow taller. And so he was trying whenever he could with his one meal to also not just have rice, but can I have some beans as well? Can I have some protein? Because that's going to help me grow taller. And at the same time, Hakeem Olajuwon was playing for the Houston Rockets. And so my husband heard, like, hey, there's coaches. If you start writing letters, it was before we had the wonderful, you know, YouTube and the everybody doing their highlight reel and sending that on and all the great marketing stuff that's digitized right now. So he wrote letters to a lot of coaches in the U.S. because his dream, after Dave came from Wisconsin and he found an outlet for which he was good at, which was playing basketball, was, and then partner that with Hakeem Olajuwon being over here in the U.S., was, gosh, if I can just get to the U.S. or somewhere so that I can play and make my life better. Make my life so that I can be able to help my family. And he really thought when he came to the U.S. that he was going to find ways to go back home and feed people. A lot of his degrees are in agriculture and economics and in international business, because he really wanted to be able to make sure nobody went without. So pay that forward. He got 5 scholarship offers to the U.S. to play basketball and academics, and he thought the best way to choose is, I'm going to look at the best marketing material that's out there. And so he saw this great marketing ploy for a school that was again, somewhere great, guys. And if you haven't been to North Carolina and you haven't been to North Dakota, you're missing out. So he ended up going to the University of North Dakota in the Lake Region area, and that was my hometown. And played for our school and went on to play at another university before his master's degree. And that's what brought him to the U.S. That's what got him an opportunity to come to the U.S. and play and get his education. And so just, I don't know how much time, and I don't want to take it all up on the story, but I will say once he got to the U.S., we started dating in college, got married in between our master's and undergrad, or undergrad and master's, I should say, and took this awesome opportunity and first job as big grownups, you know, in the 20 some years old that we were. And I'm not going to give my age away, cause I still say I'm 30. So we'll just keep that denial to me.
Yeah, that's good. That's fine. Southern lady never tells, right?
That's exactly right. And so got to Charlotte, North Carolina, right? We had 2 young daughters, and my husband gets a call. And it's a call from his mom and his sister. And it was, hey, your dad's sick, and we don't know how long he's going to make it. And my husband had to make a decision. He hadn't been home at all. This had been 10 years since he had been home. You know, you get through college and get your first job, and it's not like you got a preffle of money just sitting around. And so, the kindness of a lot of people allowed him to go home. And again, I said, there's a weight with being the firstborn male in Africa. And his weight was, if something happens to his father, he assumes that role for his younger siblings and the rest of his family. And so his sister called, and Emmanuel just said, hey, If dad's sick, we have to know that we're going to see him again. And is he going to make it to heaven? And he prayed the prayer of salvation. And 2 weeks later, Emmanuel's father passed away. So Emmanuel goes home. We get him prepared. He was supposed to go for a couple of weeks. He ended up staying 6 weeks back in Nigeria. And at the time, here it is again. There's an opportunity right where our ministry meets our ministry, and our misery meets our ministry. Excuse me. And he walks outside, walks around the corner, enters the gate to his home, and he can't even use the bathroom in his home. He can't even really fathom, now that he has eyes that have seen differently, how he survived and made it in that home. That's two bedrooms, a kitchen, very small living room. And he goes over to Roe Park, and there's still kids playing out there. And there's an aha moment. That, man, why are kids still living like this right now in this day and age in my country? Or for that matter, around the world. And he just said, somebody's got to do something about this. And guess what? Fast forward, that somebody, a lot of times when we hear that thought process in our mind, that somebody is you. And so that requires us to do something with that somebody, and that something that God's putting on our heart to take care of. And he came back home, and I would say we did a lot of things ministry-wise, helping with our church, helping with our community, doing Saturday morning service things for our community and for kids. And God just kept saying, man, you're just sticking your big toe in the water, but you're not getting wet. You're not doing what I've called you to do. Remember that somebody that's supposed to do something? That's you. And so fast forward, well, we started Samaritan's Feet in 2003, but it took us 5 years before that. And it took a lot of things happening from my husband separating from his company. And we had went away to Charleston. And those of you that are familiar with the southeast part of the States, Charleston is a great place to get away and pray. And we just knew that God had called us to more, and he wanted more out of us. And he wanted us to not be just comfortable in what we were doing, but to be uncomfortable in doing what was the right thing for the right reasons. And so we went away to Charleston on a Friday. We prayed and we just said, God, if you want us to do this, how audacious of us to say, hey, God, if you want us to do this, this is what we need, and this is what we'll do. And we have this much saved. We need this much. My husband didn't have a severance package from his company at the time, but we needed that. We had this much saved. We needed that. We had four small children, as I mentioned. I homeschooled our children as we were going through this. This is what we're going to need. We come home Sunday. We drive in, and my husband goes to work Monday morning. He calls me at noon, and he said, I think we should have prayed something different. I just got separated from my company, and they gave me the exact severance package that I didn't even ask them for, but we asked God for. And so we had an opportunity. God said, you know what? You prayed this, right? You asked for this. You said you want to do something for somebody. Okay, do it. Go ahead, start. And so we had a decision to make, to keep that big toe comfortably in the water, or to jump in with both feet first.
And clearly you jumped in, because here you are, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
That is great. Tracy, don't feel bad about sharing that story. First off, we'll find time somewhere, but that was powerful.
Thank you.
You know, I knew most of that, just again, in our research and getting ready for you today, but hearing it firsthand, again, I'm sorry, I'm just moved to tears because I think if Dave from Wisconsin doesn't say yes to that missions trip, I don't have time. God, I wanna go to Badger games. I don't know what's in Wisconsin. I wanna go eat cheese. You know, I wanna go to a Packers game. I've never been to Wisconsin either, so I don't know. I'm making up things as I just know geography, right? And my sports knowledge and my some would say obsession with sports, but I'm basing it on that. But if Dave never says yes, Use me. Mm-hmm. Does your husband ever get shoes? Does that team ever go over there? Does someone think, let's bring shoes with us when we go? You know, who was like, that's what my mind goes to, right?
Yeah. Like
exactly. Those other people that were in the background, again, going back to your first story with the 9-year-old girl.
Yeah.
If mom and dad never implant that idea into her, like give back. Or if she never sees that from maybe an aunt and uncle, a pastor, a church worker or whoever that plants that idea into her mind that says, no, you need to do more.
Yeah. And you know, the good
those
news
are the people,
you
know, I want to know, right?
Exactly. Well, and that's the thing. The good news is there are so many more people like that than there are less. Like I think of it just like you talked earlier before our call, you know, sometimes you start out with a small team and you just keep letting people come alongside and being a part and support and be that hands and feet and holding each other up. And I think about my kids and I, when we first started having our warehouse as our garage and sorting through shoes. And a lot of times it was me and Emmanuel and our small children. And now we're up to like almost 100,000 volunteers in 7 years that have interjected at different points, whether that be coming to our warehouse in Charlotte and helping to pack those shoes that JoJo donated, or the JoJos of the world finding more opportunities for donated shoes and doing shoe drives, or the volunteers that have went on domestic distributions and helped with back to school or Martin Luther King Jr. holiday opportunity for events that get shoes and kids' feet in schools across the U.S. And then people that have went on several mission trips that have taken shoes or containers to places like Uganda, where Sharika received JoJo shoes. It's just like that magnitude of good in our world is what we always have to keep our eye on and remind ourselves of, because there's more of that than there is of not, and people not wanting to help. Everybody wants to know where they can be used and be valuable. It's just steering people into the direction of their gifting to be able to help.
I love that. I love that too. You know, steering people into their gifting of where they're supposed to be, that lane that they're supposed to be in, right? My hand's up, still trying to find that lane. Hopefully one day, you know, God will just like beam it down to me or meet me at Starbucks and, you know, tell me what lane I'm supposed to be in. Cause you know, and I guess for me, leading into the question I have for you is, you know, for most of my life, I've been on this search, you know, throwing my hands up. I wish I could go to Charleston. It does sound an amazing place, even though it is in South Carolina, but we'll just set that aside.
I know.
Right. We'll just set that aside for a second. I'm sure it's gorgeous. Probably people in South Carolina are going to send me letters now, but my point is that, right. I want to know where I'm supposed to be. I think we all want that, but going back to me, and I know we're not in my shoe, we're in your wedges, but we're going to jump into mine for a second. It's my show. I can do this, right? But,
sure.
But I've been on this search. You know, we came to this theme, this season theme that we're on as we're wrapping it up. And I have been on this search for my whole life, trying to find that purpose in my life and trying to ask those questions and fasting and weeping and praying over it. God, what do you want from me? Have you ever been in that moment yourself? I know Manny, you know, has an amazing come to Jesus moment, you know. And again, I do think angels probably did ordain his shot because, you know, I've heard.
I'm not going to tell you.
I've heard through other people that it may not be that great. But anyway, I'm teasing it. I don't know if it's good or not. I'm just teasing. But my point is for you, has there been that elusive thing that you've searched for? Or maybe there was that elusive thing that you searched for, but then found?
You know, that's a really good question. And I would say this, and I'll say this to you. I don't know, you know, we just met before via emails a few times and phone call before this podcast, but sometimes we're looking so hard to find it and it's right in front of us. Right. And so part of your purpose might be who you're running into in the Starbucks. I think we make it, I don't know if it's bigger than it needs to be, or if it's, yes, we all have a purpose, but sometimes our platform and how we use it, whether you be, you're a missionary, and our pastor says this really well at our church, you're a missionary, whether you're in a bank or whether you're on the mission field in Uganda. You're a missionary if you're the wonderful server that's helping in a restaurant or a flight attendant on an aircraft. You're on the mission field whether you're doing a radio, a podcast. It's your mission field. How you use that platform is so important. But I will say this, I didn't grow up having a lot either. You know, I'm a product of a family that divorced, and in that divorce came a lot of financial hardships for my mom. You know, I'm a person that had a big brother, big sister growing up. I'm a person that knows what it's like to stand in line for the government cheese and milk. I'm a person of what it felt like and the embarrassment my mom had when she had to take food stamps to support us. And so when I was in my senior year, one of our papers, and it was our civics and social justice classes, was write a paper about what you want your life to look like and what you're going to do with the life you have. And it was a wonderful, Mr. Elliott was his name. I still remember him. I don't know where he is in this world anymore, but he was a phenomenal teacher. And I remember, and I still have that paper, and I tell my kids this a lot, but I wrote down, and I, to answer your question in a long way, but I'm getting there. I wrote down, I want to be able to help people and run my own business. Now, dang it, Neil, if I didn't write down that I wanted to make, millions of dollars, I forgot that piece, but that's okay because God never leaves us or forsakes us. But I'll tell you this, that stuck with me. I didn't know how I was going to get there, but I knew that out of the lack that I had, out of the things that I needed to be comforted in myself, out of knowing what it felt like to be one of those welfare kids, whether it was for a season or a lifetime, I know what it felt like to feel like I was less than, or to have less than, or to not be enough, or to not have enough, or like Emmanuel in that corner, just waiting to want to play, to be allowed in the game, to not be marginalized or displaced or disadvantaged or not sought after because of what you assume and the assumptions of the circumstances and environment of what you brought up do not define who you are. They define where you're going. And so for me, I knew at that age that I needed to do something with how I needed to comfort myself and to be able to comfort this world. And so it's not really the way that I thought that I was going to go about it, nor is Samaritan's Feet when we first started what I thought it was, what it's now become. But the first step is you know, remembering, as you're so eloquent, I love the name of, you know, being in somebody else's shoes, because I think until we fully all decide to be in someone else's shoes and think of a perspective different than our ours, we won't fully understand the magnitude of what our yes is and the ripple effect of that.
That might be the kindest thing somebody's ever said to me. So I'm going to maybe just play that on a loop when I'm feeling a little Eeyore moment. So thank you for that, Tracy.
You're welcome.
I don't say that flippantly. I really do mean that, because I think when we first started, I didn't know where we were going to go. I still don't. You know, I don't. But I just know I want to be where God wants me to be. I want to talk to the people that God wants me to talk to. I'm going to say yes to obviously any door we can knock on that will open to us. So I'm going to step back a second just so, you know, give some context to, again, how we found you guys. I sent an email kind of not half-heartedly, full-heartedly, but I didn't have any clue of how big you guys were till I started doing my research. And then I was like, man, they're massive. And so as I'm, you know, sending this email off thinking, never going to hear from them. They're too big. They're too amazing. You know, I do a little YouTube search and I see that, you know, Manny's been on, you know, Inside the NBA, you know, TNT with Charles Barkley and my guy, Kenny Smith from Carolina and you know, Ernie Johnson and those guys. I'm like, man, and Shaq, I think Shaq might've been there. Maybe not. But my point is that I'm like, they're too big for us. We're this little bitty podcast in you know, little old Oregon, and you know, who are we to even have an audience with them? And maybe I'm elevating you higher than maybe needs to be necessary. But to me, again, I was so enamored with what you guys were doing, and I did pray. I said, God, please give us an opportunity to sit with these guys, because I want to know more of their story, And so I'm grateful that, that is truly an answer to prayer. But I got to ask this. You talk about names and you talk about our name. I'm curious, where does the Samaritan's Feet name come from?
That's such a good question. You know, when we first started, we really had a unique opportunity to do a lot of different things. As you heard a little bit of my background, I really have a heart for children that feel or are marginalized, and not just children, but women. We have three daughters and one son, so unfair to him, but I have a strong desire to make sure that people are treated fairly and just and seen as God created them to be, and you know their name because he does. And so I think part of when we came with the name was, you know, just the fact that if we're called to serve, and just like the Samaritan does, and honestly, it just fits, you know, it just fits what we do. Because if you think of the Samaritan and you think about feet, we don't just give shoes, right? And so for those of you that aren't familiar with what we do, as Neil has researched, it's not just giving the shoes. We sit down and get to know that individual. Our volunteers sit down and get to know that individual. And the way we do that is we sit across a seat from them, and we have a water basin filled with water and soap. And we take their shoes off if they have them. Otherwise, it's their muddied, sometimes infected feet. And we wash the child's feet or the individual's feet. And we pray if we're allowed. And even if we're not allowed, prayer is in your heart. And we sit next to them and we ask them, what's your name? What's your dream? What do you hope for? What do you want to become? What are you hoping for your family? What can we be praying for your family about? And we bend down. A lot of times I sit on the ground, and just like Jesus did with his disciples, we wash their feet and we speak with them and we see them and we talk with them and we remember their name. And there's a transformation that happens between the child that's receiving the gift and the person that's washing the feet. And I guarantee you, more times than not, as happy as the child is, and you're absolutely right when you mentioned at the beginning that there's a sense of pride. You know, when you went to school and you got your first shoes and your new backpack and school supplies and a nice new outfit on, you know you wore your best outfits that first week and you staged them out so that you look the best with your new stuff on. And there's that pride in having something that somebody else didn't have or that you've never had before. And there's a pride in knowing someone's name and being able to say, I see you. More importantly, God sees you and he's ordained you. So regardless of what crap, for lack of a better way, you might have to go through along this journey, God knows your name. He knows the destiny he has because he's already purposed it for your life. And so we get to have that mutual transformation exchange, and that 3 to 5 minutes of washing that child's or that recipient's feet. That's part of why our name is Samaritan's Feet and why it's important to us, because we are all called to serve. And the best way to serve is to humble yourself and find people better than you think of yourself, and serve them with love and with dignity, not as a handout, but a hand up to say, you know what? God created you. He created me. We all bleed the same. If you've never listened to that song by Medusa, right now, it's a great time to listen to it, because guess what? We are all created in his image, and we are all wonderfully and fearfully made. And that's the message with Samaritan's Feet that we want to leave on the world, for that the world generations, like JoJo, knows that her impact is seen and felt for 9,000 plus miles and beyond.
I hear you getting emotional now too. So I'm not happy that that's happening, but maybe on some small level that, you know, I'm not the only one kind of weeping and kind of shedding some tears over here. It's powerful stuff, Tracy. Thank you. Thank you for your heart. I know as we wrap up today, I just have a couple more things we want to get to. I don't know how much time you have, but I want to be conscious of that. Okay, fair enough. So we can go a little longer if we need to from the sound of it. I'm curious, what is the greatest need you guys are searching for or struggling for or whatever? Is there a need for the ministry? And if so, what is that?
You know, I think there's always a need, but I think like a lot of businesses, nonprofits, churches right now with the way the things are in our world, it's always access to funding to be able to continue to do what our vision and mission is. And that's simple things, Neil, from being a JoJo and doing a birthday party bash where you fundraise. And that for JoJo, that was actual shoes that she could get to us and ship to us. For some people, that's a virtual shoe drive where you're helping to raise funds. And we always need people to help volunteer when we're in the region. A lot of times we list our events for distributions. We have a big initiative around back to school that we always do. That's looking a little bit different this year with COVID. So what we have transitioned to a little bit is some of our domestic mission trips where we have the teams getting ready to go to Alaska and some other places where and when COVID allows that we can do some unique distributions and domestic mission trips. But the biggest piece I would say of anything is the fact that, you know, we've already shipped 500,000 pairs of shoes internationally. We've already done, as you mentioned, so much in the 40 states in the U.S. and 420 cities that we've already been in. But there's always need for help with fundraising. And so there's unique ways to do that through birthday party opportunities and different things. So that would be the best answer I could give you, is the need to help pay it forward. And the best way to do that is through some virtual opportunities to help support our cause.
Is there any moment you've ever felt, man, we're just not doing enough, man? You have those Debbie Downer moments. I call them Eeyore moments, like, woe is me. I mean, is there any moment you've ever sat back and been like, we just need to do more and we're not, and you get frustrated by that?
You know, that's such a good question and a hard one. I think it's really easy to feel that way when you come back from a distribution, especially, you know, if we're talking about the corners of the four corners of the U.S., when you come back and there's just so many need, whether that be children that we're serving in schools or homeless vets or foster care kids or what have you. Yeah, because it sometimes feel like, you know, there's one thing for job security. It's another thing when it's not the job security you always want. Like we have a goal to be able to reach zero shoeless children. And so when that happens, then I'll probably sit back and say, yes, we've accomplished this goal. But until then, whether it's domestic distributions and the Title I schools and making sure children have adequate school supplies, socks and shoes being one of them, or around the world and across the globe where there's just so much need. And you wonder sometimes if you're hitting the rock enough in the same spot. And is your rock ripple that you throw across the pond enough? But then you remember JoJo. And then you remember people that come back to you full circle and say, you know what, you did this and this impacted me in this way. Or, you know, think about the story of the starfish that always wash up on the shore. And there was the old man, and I know we've all heard the story, that kept throwing the starfish back into the ocean. And they're like, you know, it's pointless. There's millions of them on the shoreline. How are you ever going to get all of these taken care of? And how are you going to hit each one? And his comment was, one at a time. And so I think sometimes we definitely get into those pity party moments of, God, am I ever going to be able to accomplish enough? And there's that dichotomy in our mind of, gosh, I want to be able to make sure I'm doing enough for you, Lord, and doing it with excellence. And all he's requiring us to do is, out of our relationships with him and the relationship we have with others, just keep hitting that one, because that one affects another one, another one, another one. And so it's the power of one sometimes that we think it has to be this big number, but that one person, and you said it earlier, if Dave went to came to Nigeria, that one person, look at the ripple effect of Dave.
Have you listened to past shows? Because my starfish story is my favorite story.
No, I did not listen to that past show, but that is one of my favorite stories.
I weave it into everything I do on this show. And I'm sitting here as you're telling it. I'm like, she's got to know. Like, she's now got to know. So that's hilarious.
That's awesome.
No, that truly is my favorite story. Like, Garrett, our executive producer, when he hears this back, is just going to die probably when he hears this back. So, Garrett, that was you. She did not get prompted, Garrett. That's just Tracy and her amazingness. So, so let's go back to you for a second and take the ministry out for just a fast second. Do you think it's just kind of odd, and I'm using that word purposefully, do you think it's kind of odd that God, in his infinite wisdom, for those who don't believe in God, this is just too crazy of a coincidence that you come from this background of a very, I mean, lack of a better word, low means, low income. You by probably would definition call yourself very poor as a child, right? Not a lot of income mm-hmm. coming in, single mom from mm-hmm. the sound of it, right? Mm-hmm. To now, you know, your husband who's this, you know, Nigerian little guy hustling, you know, Sprite and who knows what else, you know, in the bottles, and then these two worlds colliding to create this like amazing super team that is now shooing this world. That's just pure coincidence and just super odd that just seemed to happen.
It is beyond odd, Neil. And honestly, you know, it's God that Emmanuel came to North Dakota, that we went to the Zane University.
Right. I mean, of all places, North Dakota. I mean, seriously, no one goes to North Dakota. Let's be honest. Sorry. Is that rude? I'm getting letters all over the state. I might as well just add North Dakota to the list.
You might as well include North Dakota as well. No, honestly, it the area that I grew up in is predominantly white and Native American. And so, and knowing my background and a little bit of what I just shared, I never had a desire to be married, nor did I have a desire to be even think of the fact that this guy from Nigeria, not that we hadn't had other foreign exchange or international students in our mix before, but you know, I wasn't looking for it and I wasn't looking for him. And I can guarantee you, he probably wasn't like, hey, when I get to North Dakota, I'm going to find a wife. That wasn't on his radar either. It was, how do I help get to where I need to get to in this next level of life. And so, yeah, it's very odd because God is a God of not, you know, just happenstance, right? This was ordained even before we thought of it. And even before we knew each other. So yeah, it's a little bit odd, but it's been quite an adventure and quite a ride. And I'm so thankful for the opportunities that we had to go through, because I'm not going to call them obstacles. Yeah, they're there, but you got to be able to choose to either wallow in it or rise above it and do something with it.
I love that too. Yeah. For those that don't know, you know, Manny he's African American. He's from Africa. So we could actually say that, you know, he's, I don't know what the right term is. I never know.
Yes,
I don't want to offend.
Perfect term.
He's African American because he is from Africa. So that is the correct term. We're using the right one. I just never want to offend. And especially right now with our current climate culture, you know, I want to be mindful of that. So, but as we wrap up today, I'm curious, when it's all said and done, I know you kind of alluded to, you know, this kind of legacy and you can kind of sit back when everybody has a pair of shoes and you can kind of sit back, maybe drink a lemonade or an Arnold Palmer in Charleston and with your hammock and look at the ocean. And I don't know if that sounds fun to me, but
come on, we're in COVID right now. You're making me,
sorry.
Yeah, you're making me really,
but I really love Arnold Palmer. So that's the drink I go to. Plus it's non-alcoholic and we could go down that road. But anyway, my point is that what do you want to be remembered for? Really? I mean, it's nice to say, oh yeah, we want to get a pair of shoes on everyone. Very daunting, but we're going to get there maybe one day, but realistically, cause that may never happen. I mean, truly, mm-hmm. that may never
truly.
Happen.
Truly.
So, but how do you want to be remembered and what do you want to be said about you?
You know, that's such a great question. That is such a great question. I think at the end of the day, I want to be remembered that I loved well, that I did everything that I had, that I gave everything I could give, that I was found faithful, that the platform and purpose in which Christ birthed me into this world was completed. And that when I get to heaven, he looks at me and says, well done, good, thy good and faithful servant. And so I want to be found being spent, not having anything left that I was supposed to have given away of myself, of the means, of my talents, treasures, and time, but to be found being about his business.
I love that. I love that a lot. I always wonder how people are going to answer that, especially people who I know have been, you know, realistically in the public eye, right? I mean, you guys are, whether you're quote unquote celebrities or not, maybe not, but people know you, you're well known, you're making a difference clearly. And I'm just, like I said, I'm just starstruck in some respects to sit with you guys today, learn more about what, you know, Samaritan's Feet's doing. So real quick, we're going to play a game, but I want to give you an opportunity. How can people find out more about what you're doing, and what's the best way if they hear this and they're like, man, Neil's right, I need to get involved. Tracy's right, we need to get involved. There's ways we can get involved, and how can they go about doing that?
Best way to do that, Neil, is to go to our website, samaritansfeet.org. Also, we're on all the socials, so if I don't say that, Denny and our other marketing team will probably be at me. So please go on to our social media. You know, obviously, Samaritan's Feet for Instagram, for Facebook. Follow us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram. Or on LinkedIn, you know, so yeah, whatever means you use your social platform, that's where we want you to find out more about us. That would be phenomenal.
We have followed you, by the way, we being Yay! The show, we have followed you on all of those. So Facebook, Instagram, so Twitter. Yeah, that's one of the first things I do generally when we book a guest is I go look at their, that's also part of the research is the stalking of Facebook and Instagram and all that. I mean, checking, I said checking, right? I didn't
yes,
say stalking,
you did. Not
I said
stalking.
Checking, I mean, fair enough.
Yeah, perfect.
So we always play this game at the end of our show, and I just think, even though we've had some tears, we've had some laughter, you're a gem, by the way, just phenomenal. Love talking to you today, and I thank you for giving
thank
us
you.
Some moments today. I know the schedule's probably hectic and you know, all kinds of stuff going on, so thanks for that. I really appreciate that.
No, I appreciate it. Us too, we appreciate it, and we love the opportunity, and you know, we might have 100,000 volunteers that have helped over 7 years, but Neil, we're a staff of like 30, so listen, we're not too big for our britches. We're very honored and humbled that you found us and asked us to be on your show.
Well, thank you for that too. So we play this game. It's called Senseless. You know that there's five senses, right?
Yes.
Okay, just checking. Some people don't. I always ask that because one time, it's only happened once, but somebody's like, there's really five? And I was like, seriously? Yeah, count it. So anyway, we play this game called Senseless. And so there are just five sense questions, and then there's a sixth question that's completely random. So I'm gonna roll because you're not here. You're in my favorite state of North Carolina. I want to bask in that just a little while longer. Okay, bask is over. Here we go. Roll. That's really loud. I know. Sorry. Love it when this happens. You rolled number six, so you're gonna have to take my word for it.
But, all
right. Number six is this: you get dinner and they're paying. So whoever the person is, and it's one person, don't try to sneak in multiple people. That's also happened. Very strict rules on this game. One person, dead or alive, with dinner or lunch or breakfast, whichever you prefer, but a meal. You get to break bread with this person. Who is it and why?
Oh my gosh. Am I timed?
No, there's no time. Sure? No, there's no time. Sorry. There's no time limit. So where are you eating? And then who is it with?
Okay. I think I'm eating breakfast. And oh my God, do I have to pick one? I think I'd pick Nelson Mandela.
Okay.
And why?
Yeah,
well,
why?
That's obvious. Why? No,
I think it's obvious, but help us out.
I don't get enamored by a lot of people, honestly. Not anybody, but I really would just love to sit underneath him and the wisdom and the fortitude it took to stand his ground and be imprisoned for his people, so that they could see better. For 27 years, I don't know if I could be in prison in Robben Island for that long and stand strong and firm, knowing that your nation was going to be better because of it. I don't know how many of us would sacrifice that. And so I would want to hear that.
What question would you ask him?
Gosh, I think the question I would ask him is why. Why?
Yeah, that would be mine too, by the way.
Why and what gave you the strength and endurance to withstand apartheid and 27 years imprisonment? That would be the question. And if he was still here now, was it worth it to see where his country is or isn't at and what he dreamed it would be?
I think, and first off, that's beautiful. I think there's been so many just monumental people in history that sometimes, and again, I hope this doesn't come across disrespectful for those that love Nelson Mandela, but I think he almost gets lost because he's not in the U.S., right? So we don't give him the just attention that he truly deserves for what he did for the people of South Africa. I think he's not a U.S. figure, we're like, it's over in South Africa. We don't really care.
Yeah, you know, true.
But that's just my personal belief. And again, I think Dr. King, rightfully so, you know, gets some attention. Yeah. Malcolm X, you know, people like that. But
definitely.
But I think we forget about how Mandela really did leave that ripple effect for the South African people. So I think those are great questions. So you sure you don't want to be a podcast host? I'm just wondering, because that's rule number one: you have to ask good questions. So.
Maybe in my next, you know, next version, next season.
Yeah, for sure. So Tracy, again, thank you so much for joining us. I just want to give you one last final thought and then we're going to wrap up.
My final thought, you know what? I think it would just be to encourage, those listening and as well as ourselves that we don't, you know, I tell my kids this a lot of time when they have so much going on. The biggest thing is not to be overwhelmed in the trying to figure out what we have to do and what we should be doing. And, you know, we can't always, the best way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time. I know we've all heard that. And so I think it's just being gracious to ourselves to know that even in this time in the US and in the world, it's just starting. And sometimes the hardest part is the starting and taking those steps forward. And I'm going to leave you guys with one of my favorite quotes. And I try to live this with my life because I think that we're not just citizens of the U.S. We're citizens of God's kingdom, and we're global ambassadors, not just in the U.S., but our worldview needs to be bigger than just our four walls. And so I love this quote that says, "I am not born for one corner, but the whole world is my native land." And so this might not be our home because we know that God is going to call us home. But right now, the whole world needs to be our native land to make it better and leave it better for the next generation that will come after us.
That was wonderful. That was just amazing. Thank you for that. We're going to have to tweet that out. It's just that good, you know, so that's awesome. So we're going to give you credit for that. So guys, I just want to remind you, Tracy and what they are doing is phenomenal stuff, guys. If you are curious in any way about what they're doing, how you can get involved, we of course have listed all of that information in our show notes. I want to call your attention to that. So go check that out, because to me, guys, putting feet in a water basin and washing them and the act of giving somebody a pair of shoes, it brought me to tears. It moved me, and I hope it moves you as well. It moves you to not only a point of tears, but a point of action. And guys, that's what we need right now. We need action steps to take place, to move the needle forward, to maybe one day be able to say with that Arnold Palmer, that hammock that we talked about, to say, man, we've done. We've done a great work. We've done amazing things. So guys, I just want to remind you of that. And again, remember, when you walk in other people's shoes, you really do get a different perspective on life. On behalf of executive producer Garrett and myself, Neil Matthews, join us next week as we walk in other people's shoes. Thank you so much for joining us on Other People's Shoes. As you know, I'm your host, Neil Matthews. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Guys, I got to be honest with you. That was one of the most emotional episodes I have recorded to date. And again, I think the reason why I was so moved, I honestly think it's because I felt convicted on so many levels. It has made me kind of sit back and evaluate my shoe obsession. It really has. It has also made me kind of think for a moment, how can I get more involved? I just want to call your attention one more time. Check out what they're doing, SamaritansFeet.org, if you're interested in learning more about what they're doing. Speaking of learning more about things, will you stay tuned till next week? Here's a little sneak preview of what we're going to learn.
Like a baby, like bawling, hysterically crying, and I took a step back and was like, man, did I say the wrong thing? Did I trigger something? You know, I don't really know what's going on. She gave me a big hug, and she said, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I said, thank you for what? I would just ask, how are you doing? And she says, I've been here for at least 4.5 days. And you're the first person that said, how are you? Everybody else has told me time to.
That is right. We're going to be sitting down with a gentleman next week that I personally had the pleasure of marrying him and his wife. But until then, I want to call your attention to, of course, past, present, and future episodes of Other People's Shoes can be found each and every Wednesday on opspodcast.com. That, of course, is a great place to go each and every week where you can listen to, again, past, present, and future episodes, opspodcast.com. Join us there each and every Wednesday. Speaking of hearing things, we want to hear from you. And I mean this when I say it. We would love to hear from you and just get some encouragement, some feedback, whatever you want to provide us, whether that be through the text message or through a voicemail. Please reach out to us at 203-548-7463. That's 203-548-7463. And if you're interested in being a future guest on Other People's Shoes, we, of course, would love for you to reach out to that line as well, and we will send you some information on how you, too, could be a guest. Speaking of future things, we, of course, would love to connect with you in future tense, past tense, present tense, whatever tense you want to think about, each and every day on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You, of course, can find us there under OPS Podcast Show, a little different than our website, but OPS Podcast Show. We are there each and every day with an encouraging message for you, just for you, the listener, and we do post daily there. So please join us there every day to be part of that conversation. And just remember this as we close today. Remember, when you walk in other people's shoes, you really do get a different perspective on life. On behalf of executive producer Garrett and myself, Neil Matthews, thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned till next week when we walk in other people's shoes.